I need two volunteers. Let's play a game. Two volunteers of kids. I know adults, you're like, oh man, I wanted to come up and play a game. I need two. It's so hard to do because everybody's hand is up. And so it's very difficult. Oh my goodness. This is the hardest part. Aaron, you work with children's ministry. No, you don't want to be the bad person to pick. So, okay, all right, fine. Could you get me one maybe on this? No, I got it. Never mind. All right, so it's your birthday? What? It's both of your birthdays? We should have the birthday kids up then, all right? All right, come on, come on, come on, come on. Made it easy. Come on up on stage, give him a hand. There he is. All right. And how old are you?
Turning 11.
You are turning, wait, you said it was your birthday.
I'm 11.
Fair enough. And how old are you? You're 11 as well. Who's the oldest? On July 28th. You're the oldest, so you get to pick of which bag of garbage you want to use, the green one or the yellow one. You're going to go yellow? I didn't say pick it up. I just said pick which. Okay, very good. You got yellow. You got green, my friend. Come stand over here. Very good. And so we're going to play a little bit of a game, and just to set up this game for you, I had about 6 bags of garbage prepared for today, and those bags of garbage, let's put garbage in quotes, and they were in my office when I left for the weekend, and our cleaning crew did a fantastic job when I got here this morning. They were in the dumpster, and so yesterday we had a big party here for a couple that were celebrating their 50th anniversary. If you know the Newsons, a great time celebrating with them. Well, all of their garbage from the party went on top of my garbage, which really wasn't garbage, but you know, at least the cleaning crew's doing a good job, and that's good. So this may or may not smell like garbage. I will not tell you. I did go to the dumpster this morning to look for it, so it may or may not. But let me tell you this, guys. There's something inside of there that is well worth the effort to dig through this garbage to find, okay? And so we're going to have a little competition. If you can find it, it's yours, and we're going to have you guys compete against each other, digging through the garbage, looking for this thing that you will definitely, you know, it'll come in handy. I think it'll come in handy. Okay, you guys ready? So, can you dump it on your head? No. Let's don't dump it on our head. You can dump it out right here, but let's try to keep it in this area. You can dump it out. Don't let it get everywhere. Okay, who's going to win? My left or my right? Okay. Oh, you guys are not excited. Let's go. I need you to cheer them on. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Let's go. Go, 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 go. Go, go, go. No, 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 no. Keep it in this area. You'll never find it. What's that? Keep digging. Keep digging. Yes, I got you that. No, I'm just kidding. Keep digging. Look for it. Wow, you just touched it. You actually just touched it. You are so close. No, you're cold now. That's very cold. You're hot. You're hot. No, now you're cold. Now you're hot. No, cold. You're so, there it is. He wins. He wins. All right, game over. Birthday kid, you lost. You get no money. You have no stop. So, I think you'll end.
Right there.
What? All right, so we got 2 winners. Give them a hand. Very, very good. Very good. Don't spend it all in one place. All right? Okay? Thanks for playing. Thanks for playing. You guys have a good time. Good job. Thanks for making a mess. I need you guys to do me a favor, though. Both of you boys, can you help me out at the end of the service? We have one more service after this. Can you help me clean this up?
Okay.
No excuses, man! You're going to Lighthouse Retreat?
Yeah.
All right, go serve Jesus. It's fine. I'll clean up your mess. It's just like at home. I'm going to ask your dad. I promise. Very good. Hey, thanks for playing, guys. That was fun. So, bags of garbage, looking for things that are worth something. Let me ask you a question. How many people died on crosses the day that Jesus was crucified?
3.
Very good. I love to hear the kids' voices saying that. That's good. So there were 3. The 3 people that were put on crosses, one of them being Jesus. What do we know about the other 2? Do we know anything about the other 2? They were bad. What? They're thieves, they're bad people, maybe they're criminals. We see the word, we see that they're described as criminals. We don't really know anything about what they did, so we don't know to what level of a criminal they were, but nonetheless, they are going to be crucified the same time that Jesus is going to be crucified. And so we're going to read about this in the book of Luke, so you can go ahead and turn to the Gospel of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, in the New Testament of the Bible. You can turn there, or you can turn your app on your phone, regardless, go right ahead, do that. We're going to be in Luke chapter 23, and we're going to read about this this scenario, this thing that happened to Jesus. We're going to read about it here in just a few moments. In light of the fact that we're talking about failing forward, and so all of us have failed at some level in some place in our life, and we're pretty good at it. I was actually going to bring a skateboard this morning, and but I was not going to get on it. So I was just going to let it roll down to make you think I was going to get on it, but there's no way I'm going to get on that. I would kill myself. You will. I know. You're brave, man. I'm not. I'm old. That's what happens when you get old. You get scared, okay? Break something, you know, whatever. So I'm not going to do it, but we've all failed in several different ways. Can I get a yes for that? I think we're all in agreement. Okay, so let me tell you about a friend of mine. So years ago when we lived in Western Canada, I met this guy. And the guy that, like if you were to see this dude walking down the sidewalk, most people are going to walk to the other side of the sidewalk. Does that make sense? Like if you see this guy coming towards you, most people are going to walk across the street and go in opposite direction or get away. Like the first time I met this guy, like the things that kind of come to mind. You ever seen a man that is just chiseled like a mountain, like just hard and strong, like man muscles, you know what I mean? Like real muscles, not like chemically enhanced muscles, not like lifting weights muscles, but like a man that has worked hard all of his life and is absolutely strong. I see this dude walking in. We had this place that we had worship at. We would take a movie theater in town, and we turn it into a location to have Sunday morning worship. And the first time I ever met this guy, I saw him coming up the steps to come into worship. And I'm like, that dude is, that's a beast of a man. And he like, almost sounds like I have a man crush. That's not what it is. But I'm just trying to set the scene for you. Like, he was a strong chiseled dude. And so he comes walking in. He's like, his face is all leathery, like an old baseball glove, like been in the sun for a really long time. He's wearing biker boots and jeans and just a tough guy. And it looks like on the side of his neck, there's this giant bruise. It goes from his collarbone up to his jawbone. It looks like, honestly, it looked like he'd been in a really bad fight and probably lost at the end of a baseball bat or something. Like, it looked nasty. And so this guy's coming up the steps and he's about to walk into the movie theater where we're having church, we're having worship at, and he comes walking up, and I realize that's not a bruise, but that is some sort of a tattoo that's going from collarbone to jawbone, like all the way up the side of his neck. And so I have to ask him, like, dude, what's the tattoo? And as I gets closer, I realize it's like a person, animal, spirit-looking thing. And he goes, that's a Japanese demon. And I was like, a Japanese demon? I've never seen a Japanese demon, much less one tattooed on the side of a person's neck. Like, I didn't actually say that to him, but that's what I was thinking. And it was just all of the side right here. And I come to find out, this guy, like, I befriended him. We became really good friends. And just kind of hearing his story. And, you know, when he was a kid, he had a really rough childhood, and he didn't know his mom and dad very well. He was abused. His things were not good. And then as an adolescent teenager going into young adulthood, just living a wild and crazy life, riding motorcycles, riding hard and fast, just a guy that was just on the edge of everything. I don't know if I can paint the picture any better because of the young ears that are in the room, but he was just on the edge of everything. And I befriended him, and we began hanging out, and I went to Alcoholics Anonymous with him, and we'd sit there, and you could tell that God was doing some things in his heart. He would come in every Sunday, would never miss a worship time. And most during the week, I would see him as well. He'd come to our Bible studies and things like that. And he would come in to worship on Sundays. And you know, when you come to church, sometimes you got people that always go to church. like always, they grew up in church. They had a drug problem. Their mom drugged them to church from the day that they were little. You know what I'm saying? And then you've got people that come to church that are like, I didn't really grow up in church. And I don't even exactly know why I'm here. I'm just kind of here. And sometimes when those two people interact with each other, it's awkward. Do you know what I'm saying? No, you don't know what I'm saying? If you're the guy that didn't grow up in church, you know exactly what I'm saying. Because you walk through the doors, you're like, everybody's judging me. Why am I here? I don't fit in and those type of things. Well, He didn't necessarily fit in, and he felt like, you know, people were doing that to him, but God began to just shape some things in his heart. And I knew that his life had made a major change the winter morning in Western Canada with snow and ice everywhere. He comes walking up the steps to come into the movie theater, and I'm like looking at him like, what is on the other side of his neck? And so remember, the right side of his neck is a Japanese demon that looks like a bad bruise. Now on the left side of his neck, he's got something that equally looks like a bad bruise from collarbone to jawbone. Now we have two things happening. I'm like, what in the world? And he gets closer. And I don't know if you've ever seen the picture of the praying hands. So my friend, he had tattooed on the side of his neck, and I'm not exaggerating one bit. This is not like preacher talk. This is the truth. Okay, all right. You're listening. Good. So on the side of his neck are tattooed the praying hands. I mean, you could see the hairs on the hands. Like, you could just see the bone. Like, it was epic. I was like, whoa, that is dramatic. And he goes, well, I got a demon on one side, and I felt like I needed something to fight the demons. And so I've got some praying hands on the other side. And I knew at that point, leading up to that point, that was a significant moment in his life where he realized that although his life had been built on a pile of garbage, that he had found grace in the midst of that, and that something had radically changed in this man's life. He's a follower of Jesus today, loves Jesus, loves to walk after him, and tells other people about how good of a God he serves. Now, equally, I met a man just recently. Another man that would be a hard-looking man, a strong man, a man that has lived a rough life. And he told me just a brief part of his story, and I'll share some of that with you just briefly. He said, when my son was 18 years old, he was riding a motorcycle, and he hit a tree, and he passed away. And he said, I took my fist, and I shook my fist in the face of God and said, I don't want anything to do with him. And then he began to live a life of just reckless abandon. And again, because of little ears, I won't go into all of the details that he shared with me, but trust me, it was reckless. And then he wakes up on a Saturday morning after a night out doing what he would do every night, sitting on the edge of his bed, realizing that everything was just a pile of garbage. And he cries out to God, if you're real, I need a sign. And at that moment, some things happened in his life. And from that day, he's never taken another drink from another bottle. And he's changed, but he's not all the way there. Because in our conversation, we're talking about Jesus. And finally, eventually, we got into this conversation just here recently. And I said, you know what, man? Like, I believe I'm a follower of Jesus. And that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody comes to heaven except going through me. And that's what Jesus said. So he had some misunderstandings about who Jesus is and about how grace works and how much God could really love a man that had built his life on garbage. And at the end of that conversation, I said, you know, I'm not perfect and you're not perfect, but Jesus is perfect and he'll be perfect for us. He'll be perfect for you. I don't know if that man went home that night and got on his knees and trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. I have no idea. I pray that I'll meet him again, but I can tell you this, that there was a seed of grace that's been planted in his life, and that in a life that's been built on garbage, he could find grace. Now, when Jesus was taken to the cross, we already acknowledged that there were three people, Jesus and two others, two criminals. We actually see in this passage of scripture that these criminals are on each side of Jesus. And so look with me just quickly at verse 32 of Luke 23. If you're using one of the Bibles that we provide you around your seats there, it's on page 884. If you're using your app, I have no idea what page that would be, but go right ahead and look up Luke 23, verse 32. Two others, is what it says, two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching, but the ruler scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." And the soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are a king of the Jews, save yourself." And there was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." And one of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." So the scene is dramatic. The Romans, who were the occupying force of that day, were masters at torture, masters at this art of crucifixion. And so just briefly, let me tell you how this worked. They would be nailed through each section on their hands, nailed through their feet, attached to the cross. Now they would die, these people would die because of blood loss, because of all the things that have the trauma that happened, but primarily because of suffocation. Because as you hang like this, you are so weak that you cannot breathe. And so for one of them to be able to breathe, you would have to pull down on your hands and push up on your feet to open up the air passage to be able to get breath into your lungs, and it would be excruciating pain. And so imagine this for a moment. You've got two criminals, one on each side of Jesus, and one criminal begins to rail at Jesus. And if you were to look at the original language there, that's like cursing. It's using foul language in conjunction with who Jesus is. He's cussing at Jesus. And to do that, he would have to pull down on these spikes and to push up on those spikes in order to get breath into his lungs, in order to create the sound that's going to come out of cursing Jesus. How bad of a man do you have to be to continue to rail and insult people, even right in the midst of your pain and death? And he's doing this thing and yelling at Jesus. The other criminal speaks up. Now, in the idea of failing forward, we know that we've talked about a lot of concepts, a lot of principles throughout the last few weeks talking about failure and moving forward. I believe if we pay attention to what this criminal says to the other criminal, to Jesus and about Jesus, I think we'll make some great strides in our own life as we want to move forward in our failure. Now, there's some of you that are here this morning, you know what it's like to build a life on a pile of garbage. You know what it's like to live a life that is broken, and you know what it's like to, some of those stories I was telling you about these two other individuals, like maybe that fits you very, very well. Some of you don't know the depths of that sin and depravity and those things that happened in people's lives. Maybe that's not you, but you know people that have. But every one of us, in some point, some fashion, some way, have failed and messed up. We've broken, and the Bible calls that sin. And whether you're a Christian, a new Christian, or a seasoned Christian, or whether you're just somebody that's here this morning kind of investigating, you're like, "I came because they promised me lunch, and so I'm going to lunch afterwards." That's cool. I'm glad you're here. But whether or not you're here, for whatever reason you're here for, whatever spectrum you find yourself on, we are all equal in the fact that we fail. I would submit to us, if we could learn some of the principles from this criminal's conversation, we can make some progress, whether or not you're a believer in Jesus or not. So first off, we see that the criminal that speaks up, he's not a follower. He didn't follow the other criminals. So it looks like when we, you know, when we get into sinful situations, we get into things like misery loves company, doesn't it? And it's easy for us to jump in and go right along with what the other person's doing. And this man refuses to follow along with what he is saying about Jesus. We also see that he fears God. He says, you know, hey, don't you fear God? And then you see the other rebuked him saying, do you not fear God? Do you not have a reverence for God? Don't you understand who God is? And I would submit this to us, that in the midst of our failure, don't jump in with everybody else that's falling and failing. And don't forget who God is. Have a fear, which is a healthy, strong respect and honor for who God is. Don't you fear God? And then he goes on in this conversation and he admits that he's wrong. He admits, he says, we are here hanging on this cross because we're criminals and we've done bad things. And then he accepts his punishment. He said, we deserve it. We deserve it. Let me ask you this question, kids. Have you ever got caught doing something bad? Say yes or yeah, yeah. Have you ever felt like not saying or not telling the truth? Have you ever felt like that would be a good idea? Anybody? Yeah? All right. I love that. Where's that? That kid's awesome. Everybody else is just, you know, whatever. We're still not telling the truth, probably. Yeah, let me ask this question. Parents, adults in the room, have you ever been caught doing something wrong? You guys are angels, man. Okay, is this like pastor confession time? I see how this is going. All right, so have you ever done, like, okay, if you're married, have you ever offended your spouse in some kind of a way? Ever? Okay, now don't speak for your spouse. Okay, all right. Have you ever just wanted to go to bed and not admit that you were wrong? It was a little bit quieter there, but you can talk to me afterwards. Talk to me. Send me a text. Let me know. All the guys in the room, I know it's right. I know it's right. Here's a principle that I think would be helpful. Whether you follow Jesus or not, when you get to a point where you know that you're wrong, admit your failure, and that will begin the healing process in the relationship on it. Like, that begins the healing process. Yesterday, I was at this celebration for the Newsons, Renee and Nancy, 50 years married. And so they had them up on stage, kind of like doing a newlywed game with them. And one of the questions was, who apologizes first? And so apparently Renee apologizes first. It's fantastic. And it's important to acknowledge your failure. Whether you're a believer in Jesus or not, The acknowledgement is going to begin the healing process in your relationship. But I promise you this, acknowledging that you have failed to a holy God, that will make all the difference in your life, is when you begin to understand that, yes, I have failed, I have fallen, I am a sinner, and this I admit to God. So he accepts his punishment, he acknowledges his failure, he says it's just, it's right, and then he acknowledges that Jesus is righteous. And so what does he do? He's yelling. Now can you imagine the scene. Like, the scene is enormous. They're on this hill that kind of looks like a skull, but we also see from other places in the Gospels that this is also like the town dump. Like, this is the place where people would bring all of their garbage. And so quite literally, three crosses on a hill that looks like a skull built on top of garbage. I don't know if you've ever been in a developing country, a third world environment, and you walk through garbage. Like, when we go to Haiti, we stay at this edge of this village, and to go from the village up to the mountains, you'll have to walk a path, and this path goes right through the town garbage heap, and it stinks. Like to be in garbage, like the heat of the day, the smoke, because they're burning it all the time, and just the garbage alone, like all of that just kind of coats your nose and just wreaks havoc in your lungs, and you walk through this, and this is where these men are being crucified. Jesus, right in the middle of two criminals, which really is where Jesus loves to be, isn't it? Like, that's who he came for, right? He came for the people that are broken. And the scandalous thing that you and I find out as we look at the Gospels and we read the Bible, we are the ones that are broken. Whether we're broken to the fact, to the point of these extremes or not, we're still the ones that Jesus came to rescue. And so imagine in the middle of this multicultural place, that's so much so that they put a sign over Jesus' head that's written in multiple languages that says he is the king of the Jews, so that everybody could see this in a location in town that everybody would know about. The spectacle of what's happening. These three men hanging on a cross, one yelling at Jesus, the other on the other side, pulling down on his hands, pushing up on his feet to say, this guy is not guilty. He is 100% innocent. When we acknowledge the fact that Jesus is who he says he is, we can find forgiveness. That is where forgiveness begins. That is where we move forward, that Jesus is 100% perfect. He faced the similar temptations that you and I face. He was 100% God and 100% man at the same time. God in a bod, God in the flesh, who had come to live in our existence and to die on a cross for us. And this man acknowledges the fact, this guy is not guilty. He also acknowledges that Jesus is king. He says, when you get to your kingdom, he acknowledges that he's sovereign, meaning that he's the ruler over all things. He has a kingdom, and therefore he is a king, and we must pay respect to this man. While you have one criminal yelling at Jesus, hey, save yourself, and by the way, save me, spitting vile and venom at Jesus. Hey, can you drive a getaway car? Could you get me away at the same time? That's not repentance. That's not humbleness and repentance of running to Jesus and saying, I need a get out of hell free card. That's not repentance. Repentance is when you acknowledge that you're a sinner, that you deserve the punishment you're about to receive, but this Jesus is perfect, and he is a king. He is the Holy One, and then he pleads for help. Remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me, Jesus. And it was almost like my friend that day that he walked up and had the praying hands on the side of his neck and a Japanese demon on the other side. It was his expression of the very fact that he had prayed a prayer like that. Jesus, I need you. Remember me. And the other guy that I told you about, that maybe even this morning is thinking about the conversation that we had a couple nights ago, I'm praying that he would say, remember me. It doesn't matter where you are in your spiritual journey, whether you're a believer in Jesus or not, you can learn some things from these principles. Admitting that you're wrong, confessing that you're wrong, begins the healing process in your relationship. And so, kids, if you're taking notes, which I hope you are, if you're writing these down, the bottom line this morning is when we admit our failure, we can find forgiveness. When we admit our failure, we can find forgiveness. Like, if you walk away from here and you don't remember anything that we talked about this morning, all you know is, like, we dug through some trash. Hopefully you'll remember this, that if you admit your failure, you can find forgiveness. Forgiveness is available to all of us. It's not automatic, but it is available to all of us. Forgiveness in your relationships begins when you admit you're part of the wrong. You've heard that saying, there's his side and her side, and then there's the truth. And then there's the truth is in the middle somewhere. Wouldn't it be good if we were just known as a people that would just say, you know what? I failed you. I'm wrong. Forgive me. Let's move forward. That's the way you mend the fences with the neighbors across the street. That's the way you mend the fences with the family members that you haven't talked to in years. That's the way you mend the fences with your friends that are no longer friends, but you used to be really, really tight, but then something happened in the relationship, and you're thinking right now, but it wasn't my fault. Okay, maybe it wasn't your fault, maybe you should look at it and find out, you know, kind of where. Like, it's got to be there somewhere. Something happened in the relationship. But if you were to just approach the relationship in a humble manner like this, just seeking that forgiveness, I promise you, it'll make strides. But maybe you're at a point in your life, and this is the most important thing. You're like, I'm at the end of the rope. We've heard that expression. You're at the end of the rope. Have you heard the expression, you know, he's got his back against the ropes? Maybe you find yourself there. Maybe you find yourself building a life on a garbage heap. And maybe you need to understand that there is a God that loves you so much that he's in the midst of the garbage with you. He's there. And when you acknowledge who he is, seek him for forgiveness. And pray a simple prayer. It was a 9-word prayer. Remember me when you get to your kingdom. And then Jesus responds, today, you'll be with me in paradise. I don't know what paradise is completely. I have some ideas. But I assure you that wherever Jesus is, that's paradise. And that's where I want to be. I pray that's your case too. That maybe this morning as you walked in here, you're at the end of the rope and you realize there's a God that loves you. Maybe this morning you're in here and you realize there's some relationships that are broken. These are some of the steps you should take to mend those. Children and kids, as you come in this morning, you're taking notes and you're hanging out, we're having a good time digging through garbage. If you would just remember the fact that there's a God that loves you and that when you find things that are broken, like if you'll just admit the wrong, oh my goodness, you can make such stride in those relationships with him and with others. So here in just a moment, the band's going to come out and lead us in one more song of worship. And I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and bow your heads. And I want you to go ahead and do that. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Like right where you're seated, just think about some things that God may have brought to your attention this morning. Like, are there situations and scenarios in your life where you just need to admit that you were wrong and admit and seek out forgiveness in the midst of that relationship? And then most importantly, is there a time right now in your life where you just realize that my life is built on something that is not foundation, it's not solid, and it's weak, and I just need God to save me? This, right where you're seated, would you just say, God, remember me? Why don't you, right where you're seated, express to God your great need for salvation and your understanding that Jesus died for you, and express to him right where you're seated that you need a Savior to forgive you and to love you. Right where you're seated, surrender your life to Jesus. That's the most important thing. Your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and if you want to pray a prayer like that, a confession like that, I just encourage you to do so where you're seated. And we're going to sing this song here in just a moment. And at the end of the song, we're going to be dismissed. And I'm going to be standing down front. And if you prayed a prayer seeking forgiveness from God, please come talk with me. I would love to encourage you in that decision. Father, this morning, I believe you're speaking to our hearts. I believe you brought us here for a reason. And Father, I pray that you would just mold and shape who we are. God, that you would speak to us and that we would respond to you. Father, heal the broken relationships. Help us to move forward. And Father, most importantly, as Jesus prayed for them, he also prayed for us. Father, forgive them. I pray that we would acknowledge and trust you for forgiveness. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.